I'm William Schlichter, author of the Sober Dragon Chronicles, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
What's up, guys?
So, to become an Avenger, are there, like, trials or an interview?
Do me a favor. Can't you just be a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man? Just stay close to the ground.
You're the Spider-Man from YouTube.
The rich and the powerful, like Stark, they don't care about us.
The world's changing, boys.
Time we change, too.
These weapons are crazy dangerous.
Listen, Peter, forget the flying monster guy. There are people who handle this sort of thing.
The illegal weapons barrier was at 230. You missed it. No.
Somebody had died.
I was just trying to be like you.
I wanted you to be better. I'm gonna need the suit back.
But I'm nothing without this suit.
If you're nothing without this suit, then you shouldn't have it.
I screwed up.
You need to stop carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders.
I want you to understand. I'll do anything to protect my family.
My friends are up there.
The guy is still out there. I just gotta do this on my own.
Just don't do anything stupid. All right?
Yeah.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Popcorn Movies, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Jonathan,
Luis,
Michaela,
and Logan.
And today we are going to be looking at Spider-Man Homecoming. And to do this, we brought back a special guest. He's been with us before. He's the author of the series No Room in Hell and Silver Dragon Chronicles. And that is William Schlichter. So thank you, William, for coming back on again with us.
Well, thanks for having me. I enjoyed it last time.
So we didn't scare you away.
No. Well, I write horror, so
there we go. But William's been busy this last year in 2017. He came out with a second book to the No Room in Hell series called 400 Miles to Graceland, and also the second book, The Dark Side, which is the second book to the Silver Dragon Chronicles. So you've been a busy little beaver there, just churning out stuff. So
I do write pretty quick. The editing process takes a little longer. I actually have the third book in each of those series, a draft completed. I need to continue to clean them up, and hopefully they'll both be out later this year. I do have a standalone serial killer novel that'll be up for release very soon.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. And William's been kind enough to send us the first book of the Silver Dragon Chronicles, as well as the second book to the No Room in Hell series. So thank you for doing that. I do have to apologize, though, that we have a lot of books right now, and we're slowly getting through them. But I will get to them, William, for sure. But thank you for doing that for us. That's really appreciated.
Oh, no problem.
And we'll try to coax Jonathan maybe into reading some of them, too. He's gotten a little behind, too.
William knows that I'll read his books. Like, I'm.
And Jonathan and William have been seeing each other at some of the conventions.
Yeah. I'm actually the one who invited him on to a visit with us about Homecoming.
Okay.
Yep, we've been kind of slow in getting the books read, so Jonathan invited him on. So, and William was kind enough, and he said at the first interview he'd be willing to come on with some of the movie stuff we do.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, we can talk nerdy stuff all the time.
Hey, I'll never get tired of that.
I think you know Jonathan and Logan. Luis is kind of new for you. Luis is here, and Michaela as well. They weren't here last time when we visited, I believe. Or they might have just been listening. I can't remember.
I I don't think so. I don't.
But as I said, we are going to be looking at Spider-Man Homecoming. Pretty much everybody knows what the story is, so I'm just going to dispense with reading the back of the story and just kind of just dive in and have fun with this. And one of the things is what I enjoyed, and see, William, you can comment on it, and Luis can do that first, but the fact that they took him back to high school and made him more of a high school character. Did you enjoy that?
Always was. Peter Parker was, I mean, it was written as a high school kid.
He actually looked like high school, even though he's older, but this one he actually felt
Tony Maguire did look a little bit out of it when but I did, don't get me wrong, I did like his when he, the Spider-Man he was in, except for the third one. But anyways, I didn't like the emo. But I mean, I did like the I did like that they didn't do so much of the origins story per se. Yes. You know, I did kind of skip that, which was sometimes, you know, you get tired of watching the same thing over and over and over. You know, I mean, it might be written a little bit differently, or you know, directed a little bit different, but it's the same kind of, you know, the story already. So they want to kick off and continue already that he has his powers. You know, he's kind of learning. You know, and I enjoyed that a lot, how they did that way instead of having to retell his origin story and then, you know, continue from there.
And my wife is kind of like that too. She gets tired of rehashing the origin story. Yeah. She will agree with you wholeheartedly. Do you want to make a quick comic, Jonathan, before we kind of jump off? And anybody can jump in with comments at all, even you, William.
Well, I mean, I thought it was an origin story. I thought it was Vulture's origin story.
I see what you mean.
Yeah, they gave you his.
But. And I was so happy to see a new villain. I'm tired of the Green Goblin. I'm tired of Lex Luthor. I know, wrong genre. I'm actually a little tired of the Joker. It's nice to see a new villain.
True. And the way Marvel's been doing it, and the way Sony's been kind of playing ball with them, with Disney, is they actually kept it mechanized, which actually made for a more, to me, realistic world, because I love the military type stuff, and that just was cool.
Yeah, Vulture made sense in this one.
Yeah, it wasn't a bald old man. with cloth wings.
Yeah. But he's a formidable opponent, and not just for Spider-Man. He could have given Tony Stark a run for his money.
Oh yeah, true. That is true. Mm-hmm. And what do you think? This has kind of been a little unprecedented. We kind of saw, what is his name? Oh, I just went blank. Spidey's Holland. Is that his name?
I don't remember.
Tom Holland. Name. We kind of got him in Civil War as the first crossover, but then we got, you know, Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr. in this movie. This is kind of a precedent in an uncharted territory where two companies have shared characters so willingly.
That's true. That is true. They've done some comic books, but that's a little easier. You don't have
True.
I mean, I really enjoyed how they kind of did the references whenever they, you know, like, it starts off a little bit the origins kind of story, but not so much. And then halfway through the movie, I liked how they kind of show a little bit of Civil War. Was it Civil War?
Yeah.
And then, you know, but like, it shows his side, you know, like, whenever what happened afterwards, you know, and
it cuts out the
whole cell phone montage,
right? Yeah,
mini journal video things that he was doing.
Oh, I like those a lot, especially the little computer he has in his suit.
Mm-hmm. And then they also tied in a little bit on Captain America as well. They had the whole little learning video experiences, and like when he went to detention, they had like Captain America.
Oh yeah,
like giving out the lessons, and then there's a person who's like, why are we listening to this guy? Didn't he just start the whole Civil War?
True. He's a war criminal.
The teacher says that.
Yeah.
He says, I'm pretty sure this guy's a war hero, but the state says we got to show these videos, you know?
True.
That's what I like about the Marvel movies, you know? They always show a little bit of comedy, you know? Because I know, for me, DC is too serious sometimes. Well, I mean, especially nowadays, I mean, I feel like with Suicide Squad, they try to be kind of funny, but I didn't think it was that funny.
You see, Justice League, I'd have to disagree with you on that one, because Justice League have its fair share amount
Or like of I said, comedy. It's new, They started to bring in the comedy aspect into it, but the older ones, if you kind of notice, there was a little bit, but not as much as like Marvel likes to put into it, you know, and the little references or little stuff like
Marvel
that.
Marvel has always been a little bit lighter than DC. DC has always been the darker company.
Go ahead, William.
Sorry.
Well, I was going to say, I had read an article, or maybe it was a meme or whatever, that pointed out that Justice League are like your people you go to work with and have to go to work with, where the Marvel groups are more of a family.
True.
I can see that. Especially since it's owned by families. You talk about Disney. Come on, what do you expect?
What would you say, Logan?
And they had a great big family feud.
The Civil War, the biggest feud you could have. Well, I know, you know, with me, with the DC, it's always been the mythology. It's the demigods. So to me, those are always kind of the tragic story. So that's why I've always gravitated to that. And it's been the darker universe. So I enjoy both playgrounds.
Same here. So,
it's just a cool time that we're in, that we're seeing all this stuff on the big screen.
It's a lot of fun. And I love it, especially when I don't know all the source material. I enjoy it even more.
Right.
And oddly, what I remember of interacting with the two, Marvel generally seems to be the darker one.
Marvel?
Yeah.
They're lighthearted, but they do quite a bit of violence.
They
have quite a
bit. I'm not counting violence, because that's something both of them have there.
True.
I'm just saying that Marvel seems to be the more darker one of them after everything's said and done. Some of the characters might be more lighthearted, or
I see where you're going. Like Peter Parker never wins.
Yeah, he
Spider-Man might win, but Peter Parker never does.
Yeah, no,
that is true.
Yeah,
that is true. And Tony Stark's had his alcohol problems. Yeah, so they do have some in the comic book version. Yeah, it's there, and they kind of brought that out with Iron Man 2 a little bit with his alcoholic problems. So no problems there. Put another drink up. There we go.
Angel's little... Was he mind-controlled for a bit as the Horseman of Apocalypse?
He was Archangel for a while as a Horseman. You're right. That's X-Men universe, yeah.
Wolverine's son getting mind-control powers for some reason, or...
Dakin?
Super Hormones? Is that his name, something I believe? Like that. Yeah, Dakin.
So, yeah, if you dive a little bit deeper into it, yeah, it's as dark as that, but I think it's just the humor. Yeah. They try to make it a little bit brighter. And it seems like Marvel stories take place in the daylight more than DC stuff, maybe.
Or I don't know. Everybody just
reads. Well, Batman only operated in the evening.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, he did that to strike fear in his enemies, where, of course, the Marvel Cinematic Universe took away the whole secret identity aspect.
True.
Yeah.
They just dropped that, where the DC characters are still trying to lead alternative lives, where Tony's like, I'm Iron Man, deal with it.
Yeah.
Well, it's one of those and it's kind of that way in the CW as well. Nobody can keep their identity secret.
Like, look at Supergirl. I mean, everybody knows who Supergirl is. Everybody knows who the Flash is.
Well, she doesn't wear glasses like Kent.
Even Peter Parker in this movie.
He was...
Tombs found out
who he was.
And in the comics, that's a recipe for Aunt May getting shot, too.
True. So,
wow. But, I mean, like, the whole aspect of it was, you know, it was during the time of the Civil War. And Tony Stark had made it mandatory for those heroes to reveal their identity. And that was a whole thing of why... Captain America didn't like. He didn't want them to reveal their secret identities. But that's Tony Stark did. So,
and if I remember correctly, Spider-Man got to play both sides of that via retcon.
Yeah, a little bit. I'd have to go back and
actually
read the
mystically
comics.
Enforced retcon, not people just saying he did afterwards. Literally going to someone to cast a reality altering spell to make it so.
Yep, that was.
I think that was the incident he did that with.
The Web of Spiders, or
I can't remember. I just know he did that with an incident relating his name getting out. I think that was it.
True. So yeah, we've read some of the comics, so we're kind of diving off from the movie stuff. But going back to Spider-Man Homecoming, and this is the first time I think they've ever taken Peter Parker and Spider-Man outside of New York and taken them to a different city, which to DC. So that was kind of neat to have that different environment.
Because they went on the field trip.
They went to the field trip with Scholars Bowl. So that was kind of a different aspect that we've never seen in a Spider-Man movie.
Well, and then there's also the different aspect of Flash Thompson not being the jock. Yeah. Like, he was one of the nerds who was competing with Peter Parker, who was the smartest one.
True. That is true. I don't know if I like that part of it yet or not, because Flash had such a big deal about the bullying aspect. Yeah. And he still did it.
Well, he was still kind of a bully, but it wasn't. It was more of a smart bully type deal. Hey, I'm smarter than you, and I'm going to prove it.
Or that could be seen as just rivals.
I mean, it was for gifted kids, so you probably wouldn't have a large athletic team. I mean, it was all about the Scholar Bowl, and to take him to have that location in D.C., you had to have him go and compete, and Peter Parker still lets everybody down. I think he's the villain in the story, personally. Everything he does causes... I mean, if he had stayed home, nobody would have been in danger.
Well, that's true. That is true. Well,
no, because the bomb was with the guy, his friend.
But Spider-Man, when he attacked, he stole that from the weapons makers.
True.
If he
left it
alone, it wouldn't have gone off.
That's true.
He was the one banging and tinkering on it. If he'd have listened to Tony Stark and just stayed at home, he would have been fine.
It's one of those.
The FBI would have arrested the Vulture, and you would have been good.
It's one of those, yeah, let's just grab a hanger and bang on this glowy thing.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
And there was another thing that there was a lot of fans who didn't like it too much, but I actually enjoyed it because, you know, you get tired of hearing about Mary Jane Watson. But instead of Mary Jane, it was Michelle.
Don't know her middle name yet.
Yeah. But
still MJ. But
MJ.
She called herself MJ.
Yeah, she called herself MJ, but it wasn't Mary Jane. It was Michelle.
And other than I kind of missed the red hair, I thought she was great. Yeah. I thought it really fit. And
there was a lot of people who were like, we don't like her as this person. But...
So basically, stop trying to make her someone she isn't. Just have her be her own person.
Well, and see,
Mary Jane's already a character. Stop using her. When Stacy's another love interest, you can have a third.
Okay, go ahead, Jonathan.
Yeah, sorry.
I mean, it's still MJ. It's just not Mary Jane. It's Michelle.
And there's
a lot of people who wanted MJ. And I'm just like, I don't want MJ. I'm sick and tired of the redhead.
She did a good job.
The last two movies didn't have MJ at all, did they?
No, they had Stacy Parker.
They went with Gwen because they wanted to follow Gwen's death storyline. And in fact, in the original draft of the second one, they were going in the Amazing Spider-Man. They were going to bring her in at the end, and then decided that was too much. I mean, he just lost one. You don't want to have him turn around and
rebound that fast.
Yeah. And that would, I think that ruins her death. Death was powerful. If he, all of a sudden, he doesn't have a new girlfriend and bring her in. I don't know that I like that they were neighbors in the first one, that MJ lived next door to him. She came into his life later and became a part of him. And maybe she can, they can do that again if you want to follow that storyline in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I like the mix up. I think they fit a more modern tone. I mean, it makes perfect sense that the Vulture got screwed out of the contract and goes after Tony Stark.
Mm-hmm. I like that aspect of it too, because it showed the humanity.
He's the first common. He's not an alien. He's not a god. He's just Joe Schmo who found a way to stick it to the man, and everybody forgot all about the common. And that's kind of what, you know, New York's half destroyed. What about those people? You know, what do we do with them? I mean, that was the whole point in Superman or Batman versus Superman was Batman went after him because he destroyed, you know, half the city.
Right.
Yeah.
True. And forgot about those people.
And I like that aspect because it did show the common man that he was trying to do decent at the beginning. And it's just circumstances and everything, the way it fell, he went a different direction. So I kind of like that because, like I said, it makes the villain a little less villainy, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Understandable.
You get to see his descent into villainy.
Yeah, he's not wrong. That's the thing. He wasn't right. Now, his method of dealing with it was wrong.
Was wrong, right.
His motivation was not wrong.
And see, like, I like where you're going with that, where he wasn't technically the villain, but when he got Peter in that car and said, I know who you are, I know where you live, and I know who you love, and if you do anything to try to stop me, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill them. And for me, that was, okay, you was doing not so bad. Now, right here is the climax where he's truly showing what he's made of.
Yeah, well, it was on a date with his daughter. I probably would have made the same speech whether I was the Vulture. That's kind of
what I was saying. Some reason, I remember him sticking a "and don't disappoint my daughter" thing in there too. But
yeah, but that was that was like a medical relief type thing. Like
true. Basically, who wouldn't want a pair of wings and some cool boots to fly around in too? Hey, you know, that's kind of cool.
I like Spider-Man.
You like Spider-Man?
Well, see, Giants Spider-Man actually had everywhere. Those little wings on his suit. Did he not this time?
Who's that?
Well, not like wings. Spider-Man. He had the wings.
Wings. The wingsuit kind of thing.
Yeah.
Flying squirrel wings.
And that was a callback to, you can, I think it's actually even on Amazing Fantasy, where the winged webs underneath his arms are there. So that's an old callback, because none of the other movies have had those.
Nope.
So it's an old callback. They went back and got that.
I like, too, how he didn't really have the shooting of the web thing. It was more like he was making his web, like in the comics. I love that. You know, it shows that Peter is smart. He knows what he's doing, you know. And I love that aspect of it because, you know...
Well, and I mean, even in The Amazing Spider-Man, he created his webs.
But they showed more of it, like how he was creating it. Exactly.
But, like, the difference between the original Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire and these two movies was Tobey Maguire didn't make his webs.
He just shot them out
of his wrist.
Thankfully. Not somewhere else. Oh, it was a spider bite.
But the amazing, but I mean, when he created his own web slingers, I gave him that gunslinger feel like he could run out of bullets, and he did. Sometimes he ran out of web.
He would always have to go back to the school and grab some.
And it made him vulnerable, and he could be defeated. Where Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man, other than "I don't want to be Spider-Man anymore," number two crap. you know, he's never going to run out of web. I mean, he was never in that kind of danger.
No,
right.
No.
You know, and there's been more than one where he runs out of web juice and he's fallen, you know, several stories down. He's got to get out of it. I mean, that gives him that vulnerability, and he could be defeated, which is what you want. I mean, as much as we want him to win all the time, sometimes they could get their butts kicked.
And then there was also the time where he would run out of webs, like when he was trying to save the passengers on the subway. He shot out all those webs, and I mean that's a huge waste of webbing right there. But he was trying to save people, but even then he still ran out of webs.
True, it's always a possibility with the contraptions if you have those.
But see, like even in the comic book, so he always used to have extra web cartridges on him. So
right, he usually had them somewhere on him. So, and this one did have some cartridges because there was one because he about dropped it off the rooftop.
Yeah,
you remember. So he did have some, but he just, you know, there's not a whole lot of room for pockets.
Nope, especially in a skin tight suit.
Well, he didn't need Stark for the web juice either. I mean, he came up with that one on his own.
Yeah, though Stark went ahead and made variations. Back,
he still has his
at least
weapon.
The basic shooters.
Yeah, that's true. And what do we think?
Well, that's all he needed. He couldn't handle all the fancy shooting anyway.
Well, he almost managed to save that one boat with all that fancy shooting because he used like.
Or the ferry?
A lot of the different types in that.
True. What do we think about Iron Man in this? I think I enjoyed Tony Stark more than Iron Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
like, they could have done it in a way that was, you know, so distasteful. But for me, it was tasteful. There was that certain, like, with Tony Snark not being there.
Snark? Tony Snark.
Snark, Stark. Same thing.
Okay. Yeah, he's
he's kind of snarky.
Yeah, that's true, he is. That's probably where you were getting it from. That's probably true.
But he's grown as a character. I mean, he's gone from doing that piece on Vanity Fair. I love that double entendre. he's trying to be more responsible. And, I mean, and Peter's wild and crazy, and he's trying to guide him, where Tony Stark and Iron Man 1 and maybe Iron Man 2 wouldn't do that.
Right.
No.
Well, and I mean, in this, they also portray him as an older person. Back then, it was younger. This time, he's older and
he's matured a lot.
He hasn't really matured a lot, but he's trying to take somebody under his wing to show that he's kind of matured. to a degree. Yeah.
And then we have Happy.
Yeah.
I think the sidekicks are kind of fun. Sidekicks are kind of fun too, with Happy and his friend Ned, I believe it was.
Yeah, Ned.
I mean, they were just as fun as. I mean, all the characters had their moments, and even Melissa. Was it Melissa or May? Aunt May.
I don't know.
Tomei. Marissa Tomei.
Okay.
You know, she had her moments too, especially at the end when she walked in on us. You know, was, oh my gosh. That was too cool. And I when did Aunt May become so hot? I mean, she's supposed to be this gray-haired lady.
Yeah.
I saw this meme where it shows, like, you know, Spider-Man 1, 2, 3, this one. I guess it's, like, once they get to, like, the fifth one, it's just, like, a baby, and, like, it's just, like, a 10-year-old or something.
Yeah.
I was just like, God.
Well, I mean, like, if you watch the cartoons in the Spider-Verse, mm-hmm. Like, there is a little baby Spider-Man, so...
Okay.
Is it Spider-Man's kid?
Well, if you it's a different Spider-Man in the Spider-Verse. It's... he's a Spider-Man in a different universe.
But a baby, though?
Spider-Girl that's Spider-Man's kid.
Yeah, there's a whole Spider-Verse storyline that... Oh, there's a parallel Earth.
I mean, I love Spider-Man, but I never got that far into it.
Yeah, there's a Spider-Ham.
There's a Spider-Ham. Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm kind of scared. Spider-Ham. Oh, I can't say that copyright.
But I loved Zendaya as MJ.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Zendaya is one of my favorite actresses next to Raven Simone, but...
And she did a great job.
Yeah.
And I was wanting to go back to... Oh, God, I can't even think of her name. She was the first gal that he had a crush on.
Oh, his girlfriend during the movie?
Yeah.
I can't think of her name either.
I don't know her real name.
But she was technically best friends... Liz Taylor. She was best friends with... What?
Liz Toombs?
Well, in comics books, it's Liz Taylor.
Taylor Toombs. Snark.
But I enjoyed her as well, and I...
And because of that mishearing,
I misheard the
ending. She was another of the romantic interests for Spider-Man.
Black
Cat.
Yeah, see, when we first saw it at the theaters, when they had Toombs in the prison, I misunderstood the last name when it went through. And I was like, she could be Felicity because she knows Peter's identity. She's older than Parker, and Black Cat's older than Parker. Her dad's a thief. This was an inn where she could become a thief as well. She would just have to wear a wig, you know, which Felicity does. So, but then when we watched it back on the DVD, or rather Blu-ray, it was like, it was Toombs. Unless they change it within the Marvel cinema universe and make her Felicity.
I mean, they could have. I mean,
because I always thought Liz was part, you know, that could be a nickname for Felicity.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, oh, that could be so cool, but I don't know. Probably not going to happen, but
who knows?
Yeah, maybe next one. But I liked her as well, and Zendaya, I enjoyed her performance too. I thought all of them did a really well job. I mean, even Chris Evans with Captain America with his little PSAs. And William, did you stay through the end of the movie?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what a perfect one at the end of the movie.
He's just like, am I done with this?
Yeah. But they feel like the way Cap was, I think Cap's matured and is not as naive as he was when he was first unfrozen.
True.
And he probably did those back when he was first thought out and thought, oh, this is a great idea.
Well, he was wearing his original outfit.
Yeah. Those were back after the first movie when he probably thought, oh, I'm just going to, the world hasn't changed. It's still very end of World War II. And, you know, he had no idea. I don't think he had any idea.
But I just loved it. Patience. The strength of a superhero's patience.
Well, on the DVD, there's a whole bunch more.
Oh, is there?
On the Blu-ray, in one of the special features, there's a whole bunch more of those little PSAs. There's one on nutrition and food and just... they're just...
Oh, I'll have to watch this tonight.
We didn't see the special features, did we?
Well, that's because we didn't have it on Blu-ray. We had it on DVD.
Oh, was yours DVD?
Yeah, it was my DVD.
Oh, okay. Oh, well.
We don't really keep track of that.
Yep. I'm wrong again. I thought it was Blu-ray. And one other weird thing, William, see what you think of this. We have a character that's in both DC and Marvel universes that played two different characters. And before he played this character, he played in Birdman, which is basically a smackdown against superheroes because he was, you know, he was like, I'm tired of all this stuff. But Michael Keaton.
He's kind of my Batman. Yeah. I enjoy him as Batman. Of course, I always thought that movie should have been called The Joker because Jack Nicholson stole the whole thing. But I liked Michael Keaton as Batman for the simple fact. I mean, you just wouldn't have suspected him being Batman.
Right.
If you met him, you would have no idea. But yet, I thought he worked. Some of these other people, it's like, how does everybody in the whole town not know that he's Batman?
True. You gotta just change your voice. I'm Batman.
Yeah, just which makes sense too. Really.
Now I forgot who did Michael Keaton play.
He was Toomes. He was
Tim Burton's version of Batman.
Yeah.
When Tim Burton tried to do, or he did two films with him, Batman and Batman Returns, which another Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman was amazing. Yeah. You know, and then they kind of went back to being kind of campy, at best campy, but. It didn't work. I mean, nobody can be campy like Adam West.
True. Yeah. But then it was just so weird because he kind of said he wanted to stay away from superheroes, and he did Birdman as a basic animation for everybody. He's like, this is... And then we come with Vulture, which I guess he is the villain in it, true, but not, still.
Yeah.
That was kind of weird, but okay. But I always enjoyed him because he has an intensity to him.
Yeah, I think he said he did them. Somebody recently I saw an interview said they chose to do Marvel so they could show their kids their movies because they most of their other movies they can't show them.
Oh,
but I don't know that with the popularity of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I don't know that you could say no.
True. I mean that's an easy paycheck.
They call you up and say we want you in this movie. I just don't know how you could say no. I really don't.
They're going to face a test here in a couple of years though. After Infinity War, that's going to be a test for them.
Well, that's because they'll kill off most of the Phase One superheroes. Their contracts are out, and you know I have a friend who's actually worked a little bit on Infinity War, and that's all I know. He's like, I'm on set on Infinity War. Really? Yep, that's it. That's all you get.
You guys gonna go watch the movie and you'll be like, see that little doll right there in the corner? That's me. That's me right there.
But it's just enough to know you're talking to somebody because and they're on the set of Infinity War, you know. Right. This is like wow.
True. I mean any big movie, I mean I wouldn't mind being in like a set of Star Wars or something. I guess a stormtrooper. Nobody's gonna see your face anyway, so come on.
Well, James Bond. Why can't I think of his name?
Craig.
Silent Spectre.
Craig.
Huh? Yeah, gonna be Craig. Yeah,
he's be an you alien. Hear his voice. He's a stormtrooper in The Force Awakens.
Yeah, Daniel Craig. He did it there.
Yeah.
Who?
And there's Daniel supposed Craig? To be a whole bunch more people that pulled cameos. Even Samuel L. Jackson called up George Lucas and said, I don't care. I'll be a stormtrooper with a mask. I just want to be on the screen. Just want to be in a Star Wars movie. And he's like, oh, okay, so we'll just make you.
Stormtrooper number 3,721.
Yeah. Well, he got Mace. He got that. But he just loves to work, and he loves George and Star Wars in general.
Yeah.
And to make such an iconic and interesting character that probably you'd love to see. He's one of those you'd like to really see followed, maybe in a standalone movie.
Maybe. Who knows?
Because he's...
I mean, they are making a Han Solo movie. He
walks the line between light and dark. That would be interesting. That would make interest.
It would be a cool one.
It's that moral ambiguity. It's just like Vulture. Is Vulture really the villain?
Yeah.
Is he just doing what he has to do to help? Because it's not just him. He doesn't just do that for his own greed. He does that to keep his company alive, which is how many workers?
That is true.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know? And, I mean, like, now that you say that, when you think about it, back then, it was the same thing with, like, the Green Goblins. Osborn was trying to protect his own assets. I mean, he didn't give a rat's butt about his family, but he's trying to protect his own assets, his company.
Maybe shorten that word, maybe better. Right. Instead of assets.
At least. Yeah, his was a little more greed-driven. I did feel the Vulture started that off as greed, I think they were going to just maybe sell those parts on the black market to recoup their losses. But he always kind of tried to keep the... Now, he did live well, but, I mean, he did do it to keep his company and those workers alive, because Tony's...
Though, you know, I think he might have
bothered,
actually just...
They didn't even bother. The government didn't even bother to say, okay, you've got to ship this stuff to us now. We're taking over. We're your boss, but you're still going to get paid.
True. What was that, Logan?
I think they might have just shifted the company from the... what he was doing, and then just formally dissolved that, made a crime company, criminal organization, and just shifted everybody over to that one.
And it eventually got to there, you're right.
Yeah.
That did happen.
Might not have happened immediately, but it seems like that's what eventually happened.
Oh, yes. True.
You know, we didn't even get into the other villain of this movie.
Ooh, Shocker?
The Shocker. I mean, he didn't play that big
a minion part, of vultures,
but...
And he could possibly... Well, they also had Scorpion.
They also had Scorpion.
At the very
end. At the very end, yeah.
So that might be Scorpion.
Who was the one in the film? The one on the boat. I think it's one of the... It might be Winter Soldier. The guy on the boat. He's supposed to come back because he's... Oh, crap. They stopped the weapons or whatever. See, they put those little Easter eggs in a bunch of those where some of those people may pop back up later as major characters.
Yeah.
And you know they're going to have a second movie, so...
Yeah.
You know, they'll probably play a role in it. Whether they'll be the key villain, but they might have a background. Yeah. So I can see the Shocker coming back easily. And the Scorpion, too.
Yeah.
Well, the first Shocker we saw, no.
No, the first Shocker.
No, he's done.
He's dust.
Yeah, he's done.
And that was kind of funny, because, wait, this is that one?
Yeah.
He was just going for float for a bit.
Yeah, he accidentally killed him. Sorry about that.
See,
and I think that's where he took his turn, when he accidentally killed the first Shocker, and then it's like, I can't go back now. Oh, and that's what his personality
And this
shifted.
Is really, I mean, it was really an accident. It wasn't done on purpose. Yeah, and it was technically that one guy, the person who was in charge of making the weapons or whatnot, mistake.
True. Yeah. But this
guy is too similar. He's still on the loose, and Michael Keaton's character didn't give Peter up.
Nope.
No.
At all.
He's wanting revenge.
So is that because he felt the loyalty to the kid who, of course, he doesn't know that Peter's the one that put his daughter in danger in the first place, but because he saved her, or does he want him for herself? Does he want to kill him himself, or, you know, or what's going on there? But
he also saved his life, too. The exploding wings thing.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, but if Peter hadn't gone after him, he wouldn't have been in that situation again. I'm telling you, Spider-Man's the villain in this thing. Everything he does causes all this bad stuff to happen.
Yeah, but I don't think he did on purpose.
Nobody does.
No.
No, that is a teenager for you. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't listen to any adults, and then all this bad stuff happens, which may help him to grow into a better superhero.
True. You know? Well, this is one, as you've been hearing, we've enjoyed Spider-Man Homecoming. This is one that should be within your collection, whether it's for the library or personal collection. I think everybody's like, just have fun with it. Enjoy these movies while we have them. But we want to shift back to William for a little bit and get some information in with him. And, you know, the 400 Miles to Graceland and the Dark Side, that's come out. And you said you were currently working on the others.
Yeah.
Is there any possibility, as you're looking at this year or into 19 with the editing?
Like I said, I just actually just sent us the standalone serial killer novel to the publisher. I call it Serial Killers Anonymous.
Okay.
It's about a group of serial killers who meet, and sort of like an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, they discuss what they've done, and they're trying to quit.
Oh.
It's not a comedy.
Is Dexter in one of those? Just kidding.
Yeah.
Dexter.
Yeah, Dexter's in there.
Yeah. There's a reference to Dexter.
Saw,
right? Just saw.
Some of my characters make Saw look like a choir boy.
Oh, interesting.
I'm always writing. I'm working on a fantasy story as my kind of new writing, and that one probably won't be out for a while because I'm still doing a lot of research. But then I'd like, later this year, I definitely would like the third installment of the Silver Dragon Chronicles, which will be the fifth planet done. And then the third installment, I haven't totally cemented the title of the third zombie book yet. And then that, and sometimes that's not my choice. If I have them done and ready to go and I send them to the publisher, you know, sometimes they hold on to that stuff.
It's out of your hands.
Yeah, they want to release it this date or hold on to it or whatever. And it's like, well, I sent it to them. That's, you know, my work here is done, you know. But yeah, I've got a lot of people asking for that third one already. They want to. They don't like that I've left the characters hanging. And they want to know what happened and who survived and if anybody survived. Well, I guess somebody had to have survived. Somebody, if they did or didn't survive, they want to make it and find out what happened. So yeah, I'd like to see the other two released later this year. Maybe one in the summer and then one in the fall. It all depends on what goes on as I sort of climb in my writing career. Some other opportunities pop up, and sometimes you got to put one of your own projects on the side to work on something else.
Okay.
So.
Well, that can be fun too.
Yeah, and it is. You know, those opportunities are always fun, and I'm also trying to get the audiobooks out because a lot of people are into audiobooks, and that's great. I travel a lot. I love to listen to an audiobook. Along the way, especially one that's entertaining.
I can't do that. I stumble too much. I always thought that would be interesting to do voiceovers and stuff like that, but nah, probably not. I don't know if I
can. They can build a character. Ocean Scott Card and Ender's Game, he says the best version of the book is the audiobook version that's different people read, the sister and him. And he says that's better than the movies. He thinks that's the best version of the book is that audiobook version. And
I do love myself.
And some of those are nice. You know, they try to move away from dry readers anymore. I mean, it's people that really give you a performance.
Cool.
And when you're traveling, you know, sometimes when you travel an hour or two, or when I go do a book signing, I travel 2 or 3 hours. I'm going to Florida later this year. I mean, that's enough to knock out a couple books.
Oh, yeah. So everything that you have is also available in audio then? Or you're still working on some of them?
I'm still trying to find the right voice.
Okay.
I really would like the right voice to bring the characters to life. And that's... I've listened to a lot of great readers, but nobody's caught me as the voice of that character yet.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting. Well, and you're in control of this to a degree... Because I know sometimes the recording people kind of... Are you doing this pretty much on your own, or are you trying to do this through a recording studio?
I had talked to one person and was kind of doing it on my own, and then the publisher was kind of my backup support, and that deal kind of didn't go through. So I've turned it over to them, see if they can't find a voice artist. But yeah, it's still, because my publisher's a mid-sized publisher, so I still have a little more say.
That's cool. That's you know, nice. I mean, sometimes they take it away.
Yeah, they do. I've heard horror stories from people and things that, you know, once they kind of turn it over, they change stuff and move things around or make a say. So I still kind of get a say in it, which is nice. Because, I mean, you're on that end, you get you're not famous enough you can have a say, and you're not Stephen King, who they probably do whatever he wants.
True. That is true. Well, I know, like we said earlier, you and Jonathan have seen each other at conventions. And
oh, yeah. There's a lot of them in Kansas.
Well, we don't get to all of them, though.
Just the best ones. I've had a few. I'm going to hit quite a few in Kansas this summer or this year, and then probably... I don't know. Some of them I'll try to go back to. It all depends, really, with my teaching schedule. Some weekends I just can't get away because I've got to do, you know, they expect me to, like, do school stuff.
No.
There's one I really want to do this year, and it's prom weekend, and it's like, ooh. Well, I guess I'm in charge of prom. I guess I kind of have to go.
Move the prom to the convention.
Yeah.
Instead of paying tickets... For the prom,
I tried.
The
I tried for a Jedi theme. I got shot down. So
I would have loved to go to that prom.
Well, this is one. I think you've already confirmed you're going to be at Smallville.
No, I'm not going to be at Smallville this year.
Which one was it? You confirmed one of them. Didn't you confirm one of them here recently?
I'll be at Planet.
Okay, maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, Planet. No, I actually, there are four the weekend of Smallville.
Oh, okay.
Four cons, and I've been to Smallville twice. I love that con. It was my first one I went to as a as an artist. It's amazing, and then they keep adding guests, and I'm like, I want to meet those people. and you wanna be stuck in a booth, huh? It's a lot of fun, but I'm actually going to go to Indianapolis and try a Day of the Dead con.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That'll yeah, so I want to see that one, but there are four that weekend. It's crazy. It's and then, like, for 2 weeks, there's nothing.
Yeah.
I'm doing a Lace, a Little Apple. I've got Little Apple down. Okay. And there's a couple others in the fall. As soon as I get my fall schedule from school, you know, I'll make sure that I can do, because some of them are right around the time of the school play, and once that date's locked down, I can start to. But yeah, I did TopCon, and then Air Capital.
Air Capital.
They're just yeah. Great. So many. Yeah, there's so many. It's amazing that there's so many in Kansas in general. It's just, and they're all a lot of fun. I mean, and they're small, medium sized cons. So you still get to do all the stuff you do at the big ones, and you don't necessarily have to fight your way through 100,000 people.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That is true.
And they're just a lot of fun. They're a lot of fun to go to. So I'm going to try to do as many as I can. I've got one in Arkansas, and I'm going to go back to Nashville for Walker Stalker Con. And I'm going to try to find something in Oklahoma. I'm still kind of staying in the Midwest just for travel purposes because of work. You know, I mean, one of these days it'd be nice to travel really far, but.
True.
Put a Comic Con there.
Yeah, Comic Con. well,
yeah. I mean, if I get invited to Con, you know, that wouldn't that be the ultimate to get invited? Just go. It's like, you mean I got to stay at my booth?
Hire somebody to stay at your booth. There just you walk
go.
Out.
There you go. Well, you can keep up with William at bhcpress.com. He has his information there. He has his books available on Amazon. He is also on Facebook. Look up his name there. We will have those links also on our show notes when we post this, so you can get there. But have you added any other social networks since then, William, or is that pretty much still?
I do have an Instagram.
Instagram.
I don't know. That link is also on my BHC page, but it's just W.M. Schlichter, and I pretty much just post things about my novels and upcoming events, of course, and when things are coming out. Hopefully real soon I'll have some release dates on that serial killer novel. I know that a lot of people ask about it because people are fascinated by that kind of stuff.
Okay. Yeah, true. That's one of the more popular areas in our fiction is the serial killer type stuff. So yeah, it is. So you might want to eventually spin it off like everybody else does and do another grouping of a trilogy or something. Just, well, of course, if you have the ending already.
I know it's a standalone, but I always kind of, I don't know. We'll see. There's always an ambiguity in
my writing. There you go. Well, that's good to have standalones too, though. I like those sometimes. Like I said, William has his second books of the No Room in Hell and the Silver Dragon Chronicles available right now. The No Room in Hell is 400 Miles to Graceland, and the Silver Dragon Chronicles is The Dark Side. If you go to his Facebook, William might show you the directions, but you can go to Amazon, you look up his name, find him there. So definitely go to Amazon, check that out. Is that pretty much where they can get with you, or can they contact you through your Facebook page as well?
I've actually this year have posted if they want, you know, you can order them through Amazon. Of course, I don't autograph those. Right. You bring them to a show, I'll autograph them for you. Right. But I did post on my Facebook page and my Instagram that if you're interested, you can contact me directly, and I'll sign a copy and send it to you. Okay. You know, for you know, a little cost of the book, and then a little bit for postage, not very much.
Okay.
I'd rather have readers who enjoy the book and you know, leave some feedback. You know, so I'm not crazy prices. You know, but yeah, Amazon, of course. Barnes and Noble. I plan to be in some Barnes and Nobles later this year. Then depending on where you're at, there's some local bookstores. I'm working on getting into those as well, and they are available at some of the libraries too, and you can always go in and request at the library.
Sure.
If you're interested in it, you want to read it before you buy it, because a lot of people do that. They're like, I'm going to read it, and if I like it, I'll buy it. Go in the library, take me my name, tell them the book title, and they'll order it for you.
And we actually do have your series here in the library that we are at as well. So it is available through Interlibrary Loan. So yes, William is definitely correct about that. So definitely use that avenue. And Logan, I know he's done that a few times with some books. If he finds something he likes, he'll go out and get the set for himself too sometimes. Yeah. So again, like I said, thank you for your care package to us. I swear we'll get to it.
Yep. I've got a stack of books too, and I read every day. So,
but yeah, and once we get through everything, I know I got probably one other book that I have. No, two. Two other books I have to read, then I can jump back to yours, and I'll probably do a double dip. I'll probably read the second book of New Room in Hell, and then hit the what is now just two books for Civil Dragon and get those knocked out. So, like I said, we do have the second one in our library, so that worked out good. So, do appreciate you doing that for us, William. That
is well, no problem. I appreciate you guys. It's a lot of fun coming on and chatting with you.
If you guys don't know William Schlichter, look him up. Go to Amazon. Go to his Facebook page. Go to his bhcpress.com page. You can find out information there. Again, his series are No Room in Hell and The Silver Dragon Chronicles. He's going to be coming out with his other novels in this next year, so be aware of that. If you like him on Facebook, you'll be made aware of that, and of course the Instagram account. And I think everybody, I think William, you enjoyed Spider-Man Homecoming?
I did. I enjoyed it. I'm really impressed with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I think it's a lot of fun, and it's almost like a book in movie form. It's like if you take each movie as a chapter, it's so much fun.
Any last words from anybody else before we wrap this up?
Don't think so.
And I definitely enjoyed it. I've been enjoying the Marvel Universe as well, but I'm one of those comic nerds that I'm just enjoying myself right now because so much is out there. No matter what company is coming it out with, I even like the stuff coming out from Dark Horse too. Sin City wasn't, you know, even that stuff I'm enjoying, and it's a little bit darker for sure. But yes, definitely Spider-Man Homecoming and the Marvel Cinematic. And who knows? We forgot to even talk about this. This will be a cliffhanger so we can have William back on maybe to talk about this. Fox and Disney.
Yep.
Yeah, X-Men. Maybe.
Oh, yeah. It'd be nice to see some X-Men movies.
True.
Where they really explore what's going on with those storylines.
Oh, yeah. So maybe a good Fantastic Four or a better one. Let's put it that way.
Something. Anything.
True. Well, again, thank you so much, William. I've definitely enjoyed it. Everybody here has. So thank you again for doing this. All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. We've been having fun visiting with William Schlichter about Spider-Man Homecoming. Mm-hmm. We hope everybody out there has been enjoying listening to us. Everybody, have a good evening. We'll see you on the flip side. Bye now.
Bye. Bye.
See ya.
Hey. I could see it all so clear. Please believe me. I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.